Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello there, listeners of the Demon Creep Podcast. If you've been enjoying the podcast, I'd like to ask that you share it with any friends or colleagues you think would enjoy. This helps me out a ton and gives me the motivation to keep on making content. Thank you for your ongoing support and keep enjoying the Demon Creep Podcast. Hello, souls and demons, and welcome back. Today's story is called All the Right Signals, written by Jessam Gee. The second story is narrated by my friend Somber Reads, so don't forget to check him out after this video. So it's time to sit back, grip your seats, and enjoy. She made eye contact from across the bar and held it for 2.5 beats. Before looking away and smiling demurely, not showing her teeth. Another glance towards him, another smile, and then she flipped her hair off of her shoulder with her fingers and turned away. Oh yeah, she was sending all the right signals. Kevin picked up his scotch and made his way over to her table. Actually, he hated scotch. It tasted like turpentine. But it was hard to come across as classy and sophisticated while drinking Fireball and cream soda. Several of the dating blogs Kevin subscribed to said to skip the corny pickup lines. He wasn't sure that was the best advice, but he hadn't had much luck with his lines lately, so he kept it simple. "Hi, can I buy you a drink?" She tapped the rim of a Long Island iced tea sitting on the table before her, with a red lacquered nail. "Already got one." Kevin tried to come up with some witty and clever retort, but his brain sputtered and stalled. She was really hot. "You could always sit down and talk to me while I drink it, though," she said with another demure smile, still not showing her teeth. "If you want." "Yeah, I'd want that very much," he said, holding out his hand. "I'm Devin, by the way." Devin sounded so much cooler than Kevin, and if any questions arose later on, he could always claim she'd misheard him in a noisy bar. Of course, Kevin wasn't interested in any later ons. A couple hours was all the future he saw in this relationship. "Lucy," she said. "Lucy? That's a really pretty name," Kevin said, then immediately forgot it. They talked. He told her about working in a law firm, which was true. He worked in the mailroom, but the stories he told made it sound like he was a lawyer. It wasn't all that hard. They were actually other people's stories. Stories from real lawyers. He just inserted himself in the appropriate places. She was some kind of bug scientist who studied fireflies or something like that. Kevin wasn't sure. His attention was divided between her cleavage and her body language. He'd watched several YouTube videos about female body language and was kind of an expert on the subject. Her body was oriented towards him, feet pointed in his direction. She played with her hair and maintained eye contact. Her pupils were dilated, her cheeks slightly flushed, and she smiled a lot, always demurely, never showing her teeth. This chick was definitely into him. She was giving off all the right signals. Kevin knew he was getting laid even before she suggested they go back to her place. Her place, that was great. He could lay some pipe, wait until she fell asleep or make some excuse about having an early day tomorrow, and slip out with enough time to stop somewhere and knock back a couple of Fireball and cream sodas before heading home. It wasn't far, so they walked. She looped her arm through his, glancing at him every few steps. In the hall outside of her apartment, she grabbed him by the tie, pulling him close, and kissed him. her tongue darting into his mouth to tease his own. She pressed her breasts into his chest. He could feel her erect nipples through his sport coat. These weren't just signals anymore. This was a million-watt lighthouse beacon flashing, bang me, bang me. He was going to have a hell of a story to tell at work on Monday. If he played his cards right, he might even be able to snap a few juicy selfies to show the guys in the mailroom. She pulled him into the apartment, pushed the door closed with her hip, and reached over her shoulder to throw the deadbolt. Her eyes were fixed on him, that demure smile playing across her lips. Kevin felt the excitement welling in his belly, thinking this must be what a lion feels like when it's running down a gazelle. But he had to play it cool. Rushing in for the kill too soon could ruin everything. She was giving off all the right signals. But if he pushed too hard or too fast, well, it wouldn't be the first time he'd wound up heading home, unable to score and left to his own devices. Instead, he looked around her place. There wasn't much to see. Just a couple of pieces of IKEA furniture in the living room. There was no clutter or cookware or utensils on the kitchen counters. No posters or photographs on the walls. It was almost sterile. "So this is how an entomologist lives," he said, trying to keep his tone light and playful. "Who said I was an entomologist?" she said. Her voice was in his ear. Kevin turned around. She was right there, reaching up to lace her fingers behind his neck. Her hips drifted against his groin. He was throbbing. She had to feel it. "Isn't that what you said at the bar? That you studied lightning bugs or something?" "Ah," she said. "Photurus lucicrescens, the firefly femifatale. Fascinating insects. They've evolved to mimic the mating signals of other firefly species in order to attract the males of those species." "Wow, they must be really horny," Kevin grinned, resting his hands on her hips, pushing himself a little harder against her. "Horny? Oh no, sweetheart. They're not horny. They're hungry. And back at the bar, I wasn't telling you what I do. I was telling you what I am." She smiled again. This time, her lips peeled back to reveal rows of razor-edged teeth. Kevin didn't even have a chance to scream.
Message to temporary employee. On behalf of the entire organization, we would like to thank you for filling in tonight. We do not doubt the offer arrived last minute, and we apologize for any inconvenience this may have caused you. Our usual night watchman had a family emergency, so you are doing us a huge service by being here tonight. On top of these expressions of gratitude, you will also be compensated 5 times the average hourly rate. The Temporary Employment Agency has been informed of these unique circumstances. Hopefully, they briefed you on the agreement ahead of time. At first glance, your duty for the night may appear simple, but we strongly urge you to stay vigilant. For the duration of your shift, you will remain at the post in the reception area. Your job is to ensure that no one enters after hours. The door you enter through is the only entrance into the compound. All employees are aware the night watchman is the only person permitted in the building past operating hours. You are unlikely to run into any trouble, but we operate under the belief it is better safe than sorry. Just remember to stay in the reception area during your shift. Thank you again for filling the position. We are confident in your success. P.S. The doors deeper into the facility are chained for your convenience. You are the only person in the facility, and the chains should not be unlocked for any reasons. No exceptions. I finished reading the letter for the second time and looked back at the key sitting on the desk. I hadn't noticed it when I first walked in because it was underneath the paper with my instructions. I hadn't tried to use it, but judging by the size, I was almost certain it fit the padlock keeping the doors and the postscript of the letter chained. With the paper still in my hand, I made my way to the doors. The majority of the reception area resembled a doctor's office, in both furnishings and sterility. There was even a stack of beat-up magazines on the coffee table in the middle of the sitting area. Saying the chained door stood out in the room, that was a bit of an understatement. They were thick metal pocket doors that, even when pulled together, appeared to have a lot of unseen surface area deep into the walls on either side. The tops and bottom of each were reinforced to the point where I was pretty sure a truck would have a hard time getting through. The handles of each door bolted and welded tight to the surfaces. A hefty metal chain snaked through both of the handles and held together by a substantial padlock. Both doors were covered in stickers reading some variation of, "Warning, door must remain closed at all times." More than a few written in different languages. For a short time, I stood in front of the massive doors before returning my attention to the key on the desk. I tried in vain to piece together why someone would say there are no exceptions to keeping a door closed, but leave the key so easily accessible. Especially someone who didn't even require a proper background check before being hired for a single night. I threw my hands up, waving the white instruction paper as a sign of unconditional surrender. It wasn't like this job had been conventional from the start. Jobs I got from the temp company usually came with information about necessary skills or a description of duties ahead of time. This offer hadn't even listed the name of the company. I hadn't heard of Homa Dynamics before walking up to the strange hourglass logo on the front door. Before reading the instructions, the only thing I knew about the gig was that it was a night shift, the address, and the obscene amount of money they were paying. Unfortunately, the last piece of information was enough to ignore the red flags. I was falling behind on more than a few bills, and making 5 days worth of money in a single night, that would let me pull my head above water for the first time in a long while. Retreating back to the desk, I placed the key on top of the instructions, folded the paper, and slid it to the far side of the desk. There was a younger version of myself who wouldn't have hesitated to unlock the industrial doors and explore a secretive company's compound. But the decisions that version of me made was why I was in my 30s working temp jobs to attempt to make ends meet. So, I was happy to sit behind someone else's desk and be grateful I had been able to pay off my data plan last month. For the first few hours, keeping myself occupied was really the only difficult part of the job. Around 3 in the morning, I had gotten bored of social media, and my battery was starting to die. I had just started flipping through an ancient highlights magazine, and wondering why any kid would be hanging out in this waiting area. And that's when I heard something. At least, I had thought I heard something. A faint slam that could have been something falling off the shelf or a door closing somewhere on the other side of the chain doors. I looked up from a spot the difference photo comparison. I was embarrassingly struggling to find the final difference and looked towards the door, straining my ears to see if there was any follow-up to confirm I had heard something in the first place. A little while passed in complete silence. I closed the wrinkled kids' magazine and made my way back to the coffee table in the waiting area. I was in front of the chainmetal doors when there was another bang. Either louder or closer than the last one, and unmistakably the sound of a door slamming. I stopped mid-stride and turned my head towards the chain doors. The hairs on my arm and neck at attention, and my mouth suddenly dry. In my mind, I reread the part of the instructions telling me I was the only person in the facility, and there was only one way into the building. Another extended period of total silence. But I wasn't able to shrug this one off. I could feel my heart beating in my chest, but I was feeling bold. I came to the decision that if I could get closer to the door, I might be able to hear better. If I didn't hear anything else, I could chalk it up to a door or two being blown closed by a breeze. I made my way towards the chain doors, being sure to walk as quietly as possible. Deep down, hoping if somebody was in the building, they hadn't realized I was here too. Standing below the doors, they looked more massive than my first impression. Again, standing quietly, trying to hear anything on the other side of the door. I closed my eyes in some attempt to focus more on my hearing. There wasn't another slamming door, but a few times, I thought I heard something. A repetitive soft tapping, just at the edge of my range of hearing. But it was possible my mind was playing tricks on me. I understood what needed to be done. With my eyes still closed, I carefully put my ear against the cold metal door. I kept my breathing shallow and steady, to not pollute my ears with any extra noise. And I listened. I didn't hear anything right away, but as my ear adjusted, I could tell there was definitely something making noise beyond the doors. A chill washed down my back, and I realized it was closer to me than the slammed doors had been. The taps were constant in their production, but not in location. Moving back and forth around the building, sometimes getting closer, and other times further away. Footsteps. I stifled a gasp when I came to the realization. I was certain they were footsteps, but there was something off about them. There were too many at any given time to be a single person, but they moved too uniform from place to be a group of people. A cold sweat came over me when I started wondering what combination of that information could mean. I knew I needed to get away from the door and let someone know, but my instructions hadn't left any contact information. Pushing gently away from the door, I wondered if there was maybe a phone number in the desk drawer. I was only halfway through the thought when a metallic clatter directly beside me shattered the silence. I opened my eyes and looked down at its origin, the children's activity book I'd completely forgotten about. Was tangled in the chains, causing them to make contact with the metal door. I clenched my teeth and hoped I hadn't been noticed. For a short silence, I was hopeful. But that hope quickly evaporated as I heard the footsteps. Far away at first, but getting closer fast. The continuous thud of far too many feet closing in directly on my location. Without breaking my eyeline on the door, I backed away from the approaching clatter, dropping the magazine that sold me out in the process. My back pressed against the exit, when the thing first made contact with the chain door. Sudden heavy pounding erupted from the other side. A moment ago, the door seemed impenetrable. But now, I watched as it shuddered with each hit. Turning to the exit, I placed my hand on the knob, but it wouldn't turn in my hand. I looked down for some sort of latching mechanism, but there wasn't even a keyhole. The realization I had been locked in from the other side hit me in waves. With the slamming getting only more intense behind me, I desperately pushed on the door with my full body weight. For a few moments, I was lost completely in my goal of escape. I was flooded with so much fear. I hadn't even registered the assault on the chain door had halted. I was still trying to force the exit open when I heard a voice. "Excuse me? Is there someone out there that can help me?" The voice spoke in a calm, disjointed manner. It sounded like it was coming at me from all directions. I abruptly stopped pounding on the exit and felt my shoulders relax. Without really thinking of why, I turned back towards the warning-covered metal doors and stood silently. I was unable to answer the voice's questions. "Thank goodness you're there, friend. It's embarrassing to admit, but I fell asleep at my desk and they must have mistakenly locked me in here." I took a step towards the large doorway, still unable to speak to the voice. But for some reason, that inability didn't seem very important. "I'm gonna guess you aren't the usual guy. I apologize if I gave you a scare, friend. Would you mind doing me a huge favor and grab that key off the desk beside you?" I continued to slowly move towards the chain doorway, but I veered a little to my right towards the reception desk when he said this, my hand hovering over the folded paper where I had left the key. "What a wild situation, right, friend? Usually I'd just wait for the workday to start, but my phone is dead. I bet the wife and kids are worried sick about me. Just go ahead and grab that key." My attention still on the door, I grabbed the paper and dumped the key into my hand. "Friend, you're a lifesaver. You'll need to stick around after your shift. The guys aren't gonna believe me when I tell them. Just put the key in the lock and let me out." Moving briskly now, I clutched the key in my hand tight enough to draw blood. My other hand reached out for the lock, before even getting to the doorway. I have no doubt I would have opened the door if I hadn't stumbled on the Highlights magazine on the floor where I dropped it. The unexpected movement breaking me out of whatever hold the voice had on me. I winced as a sudden explosion of pain entered my head. "Friend, come on now. I just need you to put the key in the lock and let me out. Don't make me wait here all night. I'm starting to get hungry." The voice sounded less casual, and now held an undertone that was decidedly less human than before. Still, I could feel it washing over me again, and I felt the need to unlock the door. So I did the only thing I could do. I lightly slid the key between the crack where the pocket doors emerged from the wall. It was easily big enough for the thin key to slide through, but far too small for my hand to get it back. An immediate cacophony of pounds met the other side of the door where the key left my hand, the large metal slab shuddering against the attack. I retreated once again to the exit on the other side of the room, but I didn't try to get through this time. It was clear that my only chance of safety was the chain doors. For hours, the thing behind the chain doors, it alternated between besieging the door with its might and silences while it recovered its strength. Each renewed assault seemed like it would be the last. The metal doors shook against its attacks, but they never gave out. After a particularly long silence, I assumed the thing was prepared for the final charge. Instead, the exit door I was pushed tightly against gave way, and I fell backwards into the early morning light. I blinked in surprise, looking up at a confused man wearing a lab coat. I recognized the familiar hourglass logo embroidered over the name tag that read, Dr. Brown. Jesus, are you still? Dr. Brown started to say, but caught himself before he finished. I mean, you must be the temporary night watchman. Nice to meet you. Maybe I should have pressed him for answers or even gotten up and punched him. But in that moment, I just continued to lay on the ground in disbelief. Well, looks like great work tonight, Dr. Brown said insincerely, while craning his neck to look at the reception area. Looks like the door is still locked. Do you mind heading back in for a coffee or tea? I was on my feet before he finished this sentence, and sped out of the parking lot as fast as possible. My last memory of the building was Dr. Brown in the rearview mirror on the phone. From his body language, he didn't seem happy, and it didn't look like he had any interest in going inside.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.